Chapter 3. Dominique. Dominique met Nzinga at Victoria Station during rush hour. Nzinga's bag had fallen to the floor, and Dominique stopped to help her pick up her stuff. Dominique had never seen a woman like Nzinga before. She was tall and beautiful, with long dreadlocks that fell to her thighs. Dominique asked her if she wanted to get some coffee, and Nzinga said yes. When they got to the cafe, Nzinga did not order a cup of coffee. Instead, she asked for a glass of hot water with a slice of lemon in it. "I don't abuse my body," she said. Dominique drank her coffee with two sugars and, for some reason, felt guilty. Nzinga was from America and was visiting England on her way back from a trip to Ghana. In Ghana, she visited a castle where captured Africans were held before being sold into slavery. Back home in America, Nzinga built homes on women-only communes that she called women's lands. Dominique sat and listened as Nzinga told her about her life. She told Dominique about her mother and her violent boyfriend who liked to do drugs and had abused Nzinga until she and her brother were taken away. She told her how her brother did not like that she was a lesbian and how they did not talk anymore. She told Dominique how she had risen above the pain to go to university and get away from her family. Dominique thought Nzinga was amazing. She wanted to be as close as she could to this woman and be looked after by her. Dominique thought she was falling in love. Dominique showed Nzinga around London and introduced her to some of her favourite places. At night, she took Nzinga to bars and clubs, and they kissed in the darkness. "I think I love her," Dominique told Amma, 2 weeks after meeting Nzinga. "She's the most wonderful woman I've ever met." "She must be something special to have you acting like this," said Amma. "When can I meet her?" Dominique agreed to bring her to Amma's squat for lunch with some of their other friends. When they met, Amma did not understand what Dominique thought was so great about Nzinga. Everyone else seemed to like her too, but Amma did not like the way she spoke down to them and seemed to laugh at their British accents. "It's strange to hear so many black women sounding so British," said Nzinga. Amma thought she was accusing them of sounding too white. "Well, we are British," said Amma. "All of us." Even Dominique, who had, for some strange reason, started speaking with an American accent. "We have to be careful," said Nzinga. "Racism is everywhere. Have you noticed, for example, that the word black is always linked with something negative?" Everyone nodded. Amma did not understand what was wrong with them. "You shouldn't wear black socks," Nzinga told them. "Why would you step on your own people? And don't ever use black bin bags. I never even wear black knickers, because why would I want to crap on myself?" Amma had had enough. "That's not a problem for me," she said, "because I've not crapped my knickers since I was a small child." After that, Nzinga and Dominique quickly left. A few weeks after the lunch, Dominique phoned Amma and told her the news. "I'm moving to America with Nzinga." "You're crazy," said Amma. "Don't go with that woman, Dominique. Don't go. There's something wrong with her." But Dominique loved Nzinga, and she followed her to America. Nzinga did not drink alcohol, or smoke, or eat meat. Dominique did. Soon after arriving in America and moving to the women's land called Spirit Moon, Dominique stopped drinking, smoking, and eating meat too. Only lesbians were allowed to live at Spirit Moon, and their job was to help build houses to encourage more women to come and live there. At first, Dominique liked Spirit Moon. It was completely different to the city, and she loved being so close to nature. Dominique and Nzinga lived in a cabin away from everyone else. Outside their cabin were fields and a large forest. It was beautiful. Shortly after Dominique moved in, she and Nzinga were invited to a dinner at the House of Gaia, the woman who owned the land they lived on. Many more of the women who lived on the commune were invited to the dinner, and Dominique was excited to meet them. While Dominique walked around and introduced herself to her new neighbours, Nzinga stayed in her seat and watched her all night. She did not look happy. On the walk home, Nzinga was quiet for a while. Then she suddenly said, "It's better if we don't go to any more dinners. I'm here to be with you, not them. If they invite you to anything again, just say no." They continued walking and talking. "I've been thinking," said Nzinga. "I want to rename you Sojourner, after the feminist and activist Sojourner Truth." "I like my name," said Dominique. "So keep it," said Nzinga. "I'm going to call you Sojourner anyway." Dominique wondered if Amma was right. Maybe there was something not quite right with Nzinga. Dominique had been in America for a few months, and her relationship with Nzinga was not going well. They fought a lot. Dominique had never been in such an angry and emotional relationship before. Once, Nzinga told Dominique about her previous relationship with a woman called Roz. Their relationship ended because Roz became violent. Dominique believed Nzinga when she told her it was not her fault. Roz was a white woman, and the women in the commune she had been living in were all white too. They did not like Nzinga because she was black. But now, Dominique wondered if Nzinga had been telling her the truth. "Stop trying to argue with me," Nzinga would say whenever they got into a fight. "You're the student and I'm the teacher. Remember that." "When did our love turn into a student and teacher relationship?" asked Dominique. Dominique did not know what was happening. Sometimes her relationship with Nzinga was good, but other times it was terrible. Was this normal? She needed to talk to someone about it, but Amma had not replied to any of her letters, and Nzinga would not let her make friends with any of the other women in Spirit Moon. Dominique was alone. But even when they were fighting, Nzinga took care of her. She did all the cooking and the cleaning and washed all of Dominique's clothes for her. At first, this made Dominique happy, but she soon began to regret allowing Nzinga to do everything for her. She was not allowed to do anything without Nzinga's permission. She was not allowed to wear certain clothes because Nzinga was afraid people would stare at her. She was not allowed to read books written by men or speak to any of the other women in the commune. Sometimes it felt like the only thing Dominique was allowed to do was to obey Nzinga. One day, a year after Dominique moved to America, there was a knock on the cabin door. Dominique opened it and found Amma standing in front of her. "I was so worried about you," Amma said, and they hugged each other. "Why didn't you reply to any of my letters?" Dominique wanted to ask, "What letters?" But Nzinga suddenly appeared behind her. "Why have you invited this person to stay?" she asked. "I didn't," said Dominique. "But isn't it great that she's here?" Nzinga did not reply. Instead, she walked into the kitchen and continued cooking. At dinner, another dull meal with no salt, Dominique tried to ask Amma questions about their friends back home in London. But Amma had questions of her own. "What's it like here? What do you do every day? Do you have friends? Isn't it too quiet for you, especially compared to London?" Dominique answered all her questions and was surprised to find that she was embarrassed by her answers. Her life was quiet and dull. She had not realized how much she missed her exciting life in London. Nzinga did not speak as they ate the meal. Once she finished eating, she stood up, picked up her bowl, and threw it into the sink with so much force it broke into pieces. "Sojourner," she shouted as she walked past Amma. "I'm going to bed. Are you coming?" "Who's Sojourner?" asked Amma. Dominique did not answer. Instead, she quietly followed Nzinga out of the room. It was 7 p.m. "I'm worried about you, Dom," said Amma the next morning. "You're not the same person you were before, and it's because of her. She's not good for you." "Nzinga is showing me how to live a new kind of life," said Dominique. "A life without men and their violent energy. That's why I like it here. I feel free being able to live without men." "But you don't hate men," said Amma. "You never have. What's happened to you?"
"Nothing's happened to her," said Nzinga loudly.
She stepped in between them, forcing them further apart, then wrapped an arm around Dominique's neck. It did not feel like a sign of love. Amma looked at them, then walked back into the cabin and came out with her suitcase. "I'm leaving," she said. "I'm going home. Back to your home, Dom. You should come with me." Dominique did not need rescuing. She shook her head. Nzinga pulled her closer and kissed her on the cheek.
"Good girl."
Nzinga eventually became violent. The first time Nzinga hit her, Dominique told herself that it would never happen again. But then it did. Again and again. Dominique did not know what to do. She did not have any friends to help her. She only had Nzinga. One Saturday morning, when Nzinga had left the cabin to do the weekly shopping, Gaia appeared outside. "Dominique," she said, "we're worried about you. Nobody has seen you in over a month. Is everything okay?"
"Everything's fine," Dominique replied. She did not want to anger Nzinga.
"Please, Dominique," said Gaia. She put her hand on Dominique's hand and pressed down on it gently. "Let me help you." Dominique was scared. She knew that Nzinga would be angry with her for talking to Gaia, but she also knew that she needed help. Dominique took a deep breath and then told Gaia everything. Gaia listened and comforted her. "We're going to help you get away from Nzinga, okay? Do you want to go back to England?"
"No," said Dominique. She was too embarrassed to go back home and tell Amma and the rest of their friends what had happened to her. "I want to see more of America."
"I have some friends you can stay with in West Hollywood," said Gaia. "And I can lend you some money, too. Get your passport, and I'll come to take you to the airport next Saturday." It had taken nearly 3 years for Dominique to leave Nzinga. She could not believe it had been so long. After Gaia rescued her and she left Spirit Moon, Dominique stayed with Gaia's friends, Maya and Jessica. They took care of her and allowed her to cheaply rent a room in their home while she recovered. They asked her what she wanted to eat, and Dominique requested meat, lots of it. They cooked her many different kinds, a burger, chicken, sausages, pork, and steak. But Dominique, who had only eaten dull meals without any salt for 3 years, could not eat it. She ate a few bites and then had to run to the toilet to be sick. It took a long time for Dominique to recover from Nzinga. She would often have bad dreams that Nzinga would suddenly appear in a crowd and start shouting at her.
Every week, Dominique went to a support group for female survivors of abuse in a relationship. That was where she met Laverne, who was the only other lesbian in the group. They became friends, and then Dominique started to develop feelings for Laverne. Dominique was scared to have another romantic relationship after Nzinga, but she did not need to worry. Her relationship with Laverne was good and nothing like her relationship with Nzinga. They loved and respected each other. Eventually, they adopted two children and married each other when it became legal. Dominique moved to America nearly 30 years ago. She considers the country to be her home.